A transgender American Olympian wrote that he wants to burn the U.S. flag on the podium. The organizers of a Seattle event plan to charge a reparations fee to white people, plus parents fight back against a New Jersey school board. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the woke Olympics because the days of men competing against men and women competing against women appear to be over. Fairness is gone. Common sense is gone. In its place, we have woke policies on men and women and anti-American attitudes from America's own athletes. Now, part of the blame has to be leveled against these American sports organizations who seem unwilling or unable to do anything about their own athletes. They continue to coddle them, and they accept behaviors like kneeling for the national anthem. Here's an example, another example of un-American, anti-American behavior that's being allowed by the U.S. Olympic team. We have a transgender athlete, made the team as an alternate on the women's BMX team. He is on record saying that he wants to get on the podium, not so he could get a medal, but so he could burn the U.S. flag. And here's the story. A transgender athlete who will represent the U.S. at the upcoming Olympics has threatened to burn the American flag on the medal stand. BMX freestyle rider Chelsea Wolf, who qualified as an alternate, has said that winning an Olympic medal would provide a chance to burn a U.S. flag on the podium. Wolf, who was born a male, attacked the Trump administration in a May 25, 2020 repost of a pink news story about the Trump administration's opposition to biological males competing in women's sports. "My goal is to win the Olympics so I can burn a U.S. flag on the podium. This is what they focus on during a pandemic, hurting trans children," Wolf wrote. The post has since been deleted, but Fox News posted it Monday, prompting the bike rider to release a statement calling the Trump administration fascist and that the post doesn't reflect hatred of the U.S. per se. Can you believe this? Now, let's make one thing clear. Again, men should compete against men and women should compete against women. There is no transition. You don't go from being a man to a woman or a woman to be a man. Ever. The biology does not change. And for this issue to come into sports, not only is an attack on women's sports, but it's an attack on our sense and sensibilities. And then we have this whole anti-American attitude. How is this person not disqualified? Why is this person still on the team when he writes that he wants to burn the U.S. flag? Now, when that story came out, now he's issuing a statement trying to clarify his remarks. And here's more. "Anyone who thinks that I don't care about the United States is sorely mistaken," Wolf said. "I take a stand against fascism because I care about this country, and I'm not going to let it fall into the hands of fascists after so many people have fought and sacrificed to prevent fascism from taking hold abroad. As a citizen who wants to be proud of my home country, I'm sure as hell not going to let it take hold here." Beth Stelzer, president of Save Women's Sports, called it a shame that Wolf has sidelined a biological female. "It is an absolute shame that in the first year of women's BMX in the Olympics, there will be a male alternate on the women's team," Ms. Stelzer said in an email. "There are women who fought hard to obtain this division in the Olympics. One of those women will now have to sit on the sidelines." Yep, this is women's BMX. That means there is a person, a woman, who trained, who worked, who should be on the team and will be sitting at home, not going to the Olympics because a man took her place. And this isn't the only issue going on at the Olympics. We have Laurel Hubbard, a woman's, so-called woman's powerlifter. It's a guy. He's already competed in women's events and wins medals. That means there is a woman out there who worked hard, who did not place, who did not medal, who did not get on the podium because of this guy. He's being allowed in women's powerlifting at these Olympics. We see this on and on and on and on, folks. We need to have men compete against men and women compete against women. But if you don't want that, then here's an idea for the radical left. How about in the sense of fairness, in a sense of equality and equity for transgenders, we'll just do away with gender sports. How about that? For running, for weightlifting, for whatever it is, no men's division, no women's division. They just all compete together. How do you like that? How do you think the radical left will like that, who are supposed champions of women's sports? I don't think they'd like it very much, but they keep pushing this on us. All right, next, let's talk about reparations fees. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, how about a dose of reparations? This time in the form of a white reparations fee. That's right. There's a Seattle gay pride event, or I guess pride event is what they say now, because every kind of group is now represented. They plan to have an event where if you are white and attend, they're going to charge you a fee. No one else gets charged, but a white reparations fee for attending. Is that fair? No. Is it discriminatory? Yes. But the radical left doesn't care. They are the ones that talk about inclusion and fairness and tolerance. Yet, they are being discriminatory and unfair in these practices. But they don't care. They want to charge a white reparations fee. And here's the story. A pride event in Seattle is charging white attendees up to $50 in reparations fees, prompting backlash over whether the organizers were promoting reverse racism. The event, which will be held on Saturday in Jimi Hendrix Park, is being hosted for Black and Brown members of the LGBTQ community and aims to lift up their voices, narratives, and contributions, according to organizers. Okay, real quick, there's no such thing as reverse racism. It's either racism or it's not. There's nothing reverse about it. And here's the details on this reparations fee. All are free to attend. However, this is a Black and Brown, queer, trans-centered, prioritized, valued event, organizers wrote on the page of the event, which is called Taking Black Pride. White allies and accomplices are welcome to attend, but will be charged a $10 to $50 reparations fee that will be used to keep this event free of cost for Black and Brown, trans and queer community. The event description continued. White allies and accomplices. What in the world is that? Gone are the days of the great American melting pot. Now, unless you embrace the radical left agenda, you are labeled a white accomplice or ally. It's just outrageous, folks. Now, there has been some backlash. There has been some pushback on this. People have taken the case to Seattle Civil Rights Commission, but guess what? The Civil Rights Commission is siding with the event organizers. And here's more. Black, trans, and queer peoples are among the most marginalized and persecuted peoples within the LGBTQIA2S+ community, the commission wrote in a letter posted to Twitter. They often face shame, not only from the cis heteronormative community, but within the queer community at large as well. In making the event free for the Black queer community, the organizers of this event are extending a courtesy so rarely extended by providing a free and safe space to express joy, share story, and be in community. Unbelievable. You know, I can't even keep up with all these letters anymore. It just keeps growing and growing. LGBTQIA2S+, pretty soon it's going to be the entire alphabet. But that's what's going on in Seattle. Okay, now let's turn to New Jersey, because a school board is facing the wrath of parents. And why? Because they try to put woke policies, leftist agenda in, and parents can't take it anymore. These school boards are trying to find offenses where there are none, to try and make issues where there are no issues. This time, they decided that they are going to remove all the holiday names and just replace it with day off. Well, the parents have had enough. They're fighting back. And here's the story. Earlier this month, the Randolph Board of Education in New Jersey voted to start listing holidays, including religious and national holidays, such as Memorial Day and Thanksgiving, as day off on the school calendar after receiving backlash for renaming Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day. The school board then reversed those plans after parents expressed outrage at an emergency meeting on the decision. The Randolph Board of Education voted 8-1 to reinstate the holidays after dozens of members of the community voiced outrage during the public comment portion of the meeting. So you see what happened there? this school board made its first push at cancel culture. They decided to get rid of Columbus Day. That didn't go over well. Parents were upset. So instead of the school board saying, you know what, our bad, we'll just replace the holiday. No, they decided to take their cancel culture up a notch and get rid of all the holidays, replace it with days off. Well, the first time it didn't go over well, the second time was much less pleasant for them.
I think some forget that one's own agenda or beliefs may not be what is good for the betterment of the community and the education of our children.
We do care about diversity and inclusion, but this is not the way.
You have disgraced our town. We are all over the world. They pledge allegiance to the flag and they take it off the calendar.
Your actions have made Randolph the laughingstock of the nation.
The school board was blasted at this special meeting, and it's because of community members, concerned parents, speaking out so vocally that the reversal was a vote of 8-1. That shows you the strength of the community in action. Now, here's some comments from those parents on Fox News.
They got the message. They reversed course on their decision, which is very much appreciated. There were no resignations, which was a little surprising, because truth be told, they've lost the trust of our community and feel between a mixture of their arrogance and incompetence that they're not really the best people to proceed forward in helping to rebuild and help our community heal.
So that parent, Tom Tatum, called for school board members to resign. They didn't end up resigning, but he brings up a good point, and that is the school board has lost the trust of the community. These school boards go left wing and no longer represent the people who voted them in. And when that happens, it's time for them to go. Here's reaction from another parent.
And I hope the lesson that everyone's seeing from this, not just from our town, but from across the country, is it's not about being the loudest to get your way. It's really about, you know, learning that this needs to be a transparent, accountable, and collaborative process with the town that you live in. And that's one of the biggest messages we were giving the board last night consistently across 40 different speakers. And that's what they really need to come and think about as we move forward.
Transparency and accountability. Friends, that is what it's all about. And it doesn't matter what level of government we're talking about, whether it's federal, state, or local. It's up to us to hold these people accountable. We, the people, have the power, and the school board, they felt it. Okay, next, let's talk about the Senate Democrats, because their effort to take control of America's elections has died in the Senate, thanks to a filibuster by the GOP. They were pushing this un-American elections bill, which would get rid of voter ID, which would allow ballot harvesting. Nothing in that bill makes elections more secure. And here's the story. Senate Republicans blocked a measure authored by Democrats that would overhaul election and voting laws, calling the legislation a partisan power grab. Democrats voted unanimously to begin debate on the For the People Act, a bill they framed as critical voting rights legislation. But the party only controls 50 votes in the Senate, and the measure did not win any of the 10 GOP votes needed to launch a debate on the measure. It marked the third time the GOP filibustered a major Democratic initiative since Democrats regained the majority in January. This bill was a complete power grab, folks, and it just shows what the Democrats do when they get in power. They try to seize more power, allowing ballot harvesting, getting rid of voter ID. Nothing, again, in this bill makes things more secure, but that's what the Democrats were pushing, and it died because of the filibuster. And that brings into highlight the filibuster, because the Democrats were blasting the filibuster. They are going to try to get rid of it. They're calling it ancient. They're calling it outdated. And they're calling it racist. Of course they are, because they're on the losing end of it. They were singing a different tune, though, just last year. Look at this research from John Roberts over at Fox News. After President Joe Biden denounced the rampant abuse of the filibuster last year, we did some digging. Republicans used it once. Democrats used it 327 times. You heard it right. 327 times. That's a lot of uses for an outdated, ancient, racist legislative maneuver, don't you think? Here's more reaction from yesterday's vote. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called the bill the Democrats' transparently partisan plan to tilt every election in America permanently in their favor. Even centrist Republicans would not vote for the bill. Senator Susan Collins said a provision to allow ballots to be turned in 7 days after the election would create chaotic elections. She called the measure flawed and said it could not serve as the basis for a bipartisan agreement. Senator Lisa Murkowski, a centrist Republican from Alaska, said the measure contained noteworthy goals, but she would vote against it. This bill before the Senate isn't so much about voting rights as it is a partisan federal takeover of the election system, Murkowski said. Well, the bill was terrible, and I'm glad it's defeated, but it brings into highlight the battle for the filibuster. The Democrats want to get rid of it, and it is so close right now. We have a 50-50 Senate, and they are pushing to get rid of the filibuster. Luckily, we have Democrat Senators Manchin and Sinema who are against the filibuster, but it's just too close. That is a razor-thin margin, and it shows that our best strategy is to win elections, to not be in this situation, to win the House back, to win the Senate, and move on. Get real conservative legislation. That's what we need, folks. All right, friends, that's our show for today. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thanks again for tuning in. Our next show will be Friday. Please tune in, and I'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.